All right, joining me now is Rebecca Walzer, right, guys? All right. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome back
Hi.
To the broadcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I'm in New York, so that's the city behind me.
I'm going to say it looks like you're in New York tonight.
Yep,
so, Rebecca, I want to talk to you about a few things, and that is the M2 money supply. Explain to our audience, what is M2 money? What does that mean?
So M2 is basically everything that is readily convertible into cash. So M1 would be liquid cash, actual cash in the bank. M2 brings in all of your writable instruments. So your checking, demand deposits, all of those things that are very quickly converted into cash. That's M2.
Okay. So what is the total, I guess, Reuters, I looked this up today.
Yes.
Analysis. Yes. U.S. banks hold $3.3 trillion cash. You're going to show that in there, guys. Amid banking crisis slowdowns. Okay.
Yes.
So they're holding $3.3 trillion. But yet, how much has the Fed thrown at keeping the banks from collapsing?
Yeah. Let me explain this, Brandon, a little bit so that the audience can understand, because they might say, is that all the cash that we have in the banks? And what people need to understand is that is the liquid cash deposits on demand held in the banks. That doesn't mean that's the total deposits in the U.S. banking system. What banks do when they get a deposit, there's the traditional model and then there's the new model. Okay, I'm going to just quickly explain both. The traditional model is basically traditional banking. Think of it more like a savings and loan. I'm going to come in and save money and deposit it into this savings account. And bank, you need to give me a return on my money. So what do you have to do, bank? You have to make money. So what do you have to do? You have to go out and lend it to a credit-worthy borrower, whether it's a commercial real estate loan like the regional banks specialize in, or it's a home mortgage loan. Whatever you do, bank, to make money, you have to go out, determine someone's creditworthiness, their ability to repay, make a solid loan, collect interest, make a spread, and then return some interest to me. That's the traditional model, okay? That model has largely been absconded, but like First Republic Bank, for example, had 80% of their portfolio held as real estate collateral loans. So in other words, 80% is not sitting in cash in the actual bank accounts. It's been loaned out as real estate mortgages. So that was the deal with First Republic. So the new model, the new way, is that the Federal Reserve and central banking really encourage banks to divert their cash, and instead of lending, to use treasuries. So as the Fed started this interest rate increasing program in April of last year, this massive amount of increases, you know, banks have to manage the risk of getting new deposits. And so as coronavirus happened and we got a lot more stimulus and a lot more money coming into the system, a lot more of that money was being deposited. Instead of making loans out because everything was shut down, the Federal Reserve and all central banks encouraged the banks to buy treasuries. And here is the problem. This is the big banking crisis that we are now up against. Because when you buy treasuries, and before the interest rates have been increased 11, 12 times since April of 2022, we went from basically 0.08% or basically not even a 25 Fed funds rate to now over, you know, 5%. And we don't even have a terminal rate set yet. And that's the top rate is the terminal rate that the Fed's going to stop at. When you're buying treasuries to basically have a return to give and safely to your depositors, and all of a sudden the Federal Reserve starts raising rates so fast. Remember, Brandon, there is an inverse relationship between what the value of a bond is and the interest rate. And that is just very simple. I've explained it before. I'll just really quickly explain it again. When you buy a bond, a $1,000 bond, and the going rate is 3%, and a year later, that $1,000 bond is for sale by the federal government for 6%. Guess what happens to the bond you bought a year ago? It's fair market value. Its fair market value is going to be discounted to make the effective yield now 6%. So when you do something called mark to market for these bank assets, you will see that we have lost trillions of dollars of value in the collateral that they are holding because interest rates have just escalated so quickly. So in order to prevent the bleeding and the banking crisis to actually begin in March and April in earnest, the Federal Reserve launched the BTFP, the Bank Term Funding Program. And to your point of the Reuters article, there is $3.3 trillion being held in liquid cash that hasn't been, you know, loaned out and hasn't been bought by instead for treasuries. And that 3.3 is so dire as we cannot. So basically, Brandon, I know this is very convoluted, it's very complex, but I'm trying to explain a lot of stuff in a very short amount of time. What's happening now is the Federal Reserve is broadcasted and is very aware that the banking system is in the most precarious situation it has been in since the Great Depression. And they came up with BTFP, which you are right. They are basically planning to the backstop of $2 trillion of the $3.3 trillion that is existing in cash in the U.S. banking system.
So let me show the headlines. Again, there is the one from Reuters that we showed you a while ago. U.S. banks hold $3.3 trillion cash amid banking crisis. Now, here is the Market Insider report. The Feds may provide as much as $2 trillion liquidity relief for banks after the CVSBC collapse, SVB. So again, we have the article. We have the pull that down. I'll pull up one more because I think I have one that actually says they've actually now done this. Where is it?
We already have about $121 billion, $25 billion, and there's $145 billion in collateral. But that collateral is at par, Brennan. What that means is they are not marking it to market. They are not taking the fair market value since interest rates have risen, because most banks do hold their treasuries. They change their cash into treasuries, and they do hold those treasuries normally to maturity. But here's the problem. As the bank runs begin, as people start to realize how insolvent the banking system is, and that the Fed has basically said, we will backstop 2/3 of the entire cash of the U.S. banking system. As people begin to realize this, they start to pull their deposits out of banks and go and buy other things, gold, silver. I'm saying those because that's what I believe in, precious metals. Real estate too, of course, yes. But real estate will have a diminution in value, whereas we expect metals to pop to the upside because they've been so artificially, what we call gap down in price, fraudulently manipulating.
Naked shorts and stuff. Naked shorts and things.
Well, naked shorts are for stocks, not metals. But yes, 100%. We have less metals than they let us know, and they're arbitrarily keeping. I mean, there's people that have gone to jail for fraud, felony fraud for metals manipulation of price. So there's a whole nother Russian gold commodity exchange coming out so we can finally get real metal prices again. But yeah, Brandon, this is what's happening. We have a banking crisis that we're running up into. And
how many, the music's playing, but tell me, what percentage of Americans understand what we just discussed?
Oh, 1%, if 1%.
Which means
I mean,
this is
stuff that people in my industry have no clue about.
Which
at
means
all.
If they
and
choose
in the
to
money
put
industry.
If they choose to put in capital controls to shut everything down like
they already have. They've already announced last year that they were moving to Basel III, which is Basel is the requirements that set by the Bank of International Settlements, is the central bank of central banks, and they've already implemented Basel III. Here's the thing, Basel II is what really caused banks to start buying treasuries, because treasuries are listed as a tier one asset with no discount. So it's the same as cash. So what did these banks do? Oh, we don't have to do risky loans anymore that won't be counted at 100% of the value. Let's just buy treasuries. So you basically have had all these banks stop lending and buying treasuries. And so what is in our system? Treasuries, 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 and treasuries.
So where's the real money? Yeah,
where's the real money?
Whereas if they'd loan the money out for someone to buy real estate, they'd have a real hard asset of real estate. Whereas now they're just holding a piece of paper.
Yes, our banking system has completely moved away from just loaning money out. Of course, we still have the regionals. We still have massive banks that focus primarily on lending. But most banks now, and certainly retail banks that you and I, mom and pop, are going to use, are on the treasury model, and the treasury model is the collapse of the banking system.
The
period.
Treasury model, that's the headline. The treasury model is the collapse of the U.S. banking system. That's our headline.
The way they have engineered it, with the keeping it 100% at par value, loaning dollar for dollar at par, when you know that the diminution in value is trillions and trillions of dollars.
WalzerWealth.com, if you want to learn more, WalzerWealth.com. You can see she knows what's happening, and she helps her clients protect their assets. Throw it up there, please. WalzerWealth.com. Make sure I got it right. WalzerWealth.com. I did. WalzerWealth.com. Have fun in New York. Thanks for being with us, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, Rebecca, along with Colonel John Mills, will be keynote speakers this year at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend coming up October 20th. Full details at WVWTVstore.com.